We have another caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Glenn in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Wow.
Aloha. This is our first call from the Pacific.
Aloha.
Aloha.
808. I got it. Great. I saw you. I could see your number on the caller ID over here in Walt Disney World Today Studios. Yeah, 808. That's the area code for Hawaii. How are you doing tonight?
Good. I just actually realized that you guys are doing a live show, so I thought I'd call in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you don't have to call in and ask us some, amazing question. Call in and say hi. We love talking to our listeners.
Well, actually, I had a question for you, Matt, about MGM, if I may.
Sure.
Okay, well, actually, I was looking through Lynn's unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. And under the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular, Jim Hill mentioned something like to the effect of, since the attraction has been the same for so long, that people are kind of tired of it. And do you think that the fourth installment of the Indiana Jones series will kind of reinvigorate the attraction, or do you think that if it kind of flops, that Disney will kind of look for something else to do with that space, whether it be a Disneyland version, a Walt Disney World version of the Disneyland ride or something else?
Well, here's my thinking. First of all, if all those Star Wars movies didn't change Star Tours, Indiana Jones 4 isn't going to change Indiana Jones. There's been a lot of rumors about it, especially since the new stunt show, the Lights, Motors, Action, Extreme stunt show opened up. There's been the rumors of Indiana Jones's demise has been widely reported. It's still popular. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. The only rumor I've ever heard is that it's going to be Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular would be replaced with an Indiana Jones adventure ride like you have in Disneyland. That's the rumor I've heard. At this point, I've heard it so many times, and this time it's really happening, and then, of course, nothing ever happens. I'm going to tell you that seeing is believing, and I don't put too much weight in it. At this point, I think for the immediate future, for the next few years, we're definitely going to be stuck with Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular, I think. I don't see that changing anytime soon, because there's nothing really on the horizon that I can see that would indicate that. Certainly, the movie may help. If the movie does amazingly well, then Disney, not want to lose out on marketing, may try to do something. But of course, Indiana Jones, like Star Tours, is a Lucas property, which he runs in coordination with Disney, of course. However, like I said, if all those Star Wars movies, which made gobs of money, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, did not change Star Tours yet, I can't imagine that Indiana Jones 4, which will make maybe $100 million or something, is going to change the attraction. I may be a little pessimistic here, admittedly, because I've heard so many rumors at this point that haven't panned out. So that's my thinking on it.
Okay, well, I have one more question, kind of follow up for all four of you guys. What is your take on the attraction as it is right now? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
Indiana Jones, you're talking about?
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I think it's still good. It holds up. It's an interesting thing. It's not as it doesn't slow down as much as Lights, Motors, Action does.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to look at it from two different aspects. One is the ride aspect in itself. We've all seen it numerous times. I mean, we're talking dozens already for probably most of us. From a repeat standpoint, I mean, any show is going to get a little old after a while. But I think the show itself, looking at it from outside the repeat standpoint, is pretty good. I think it's good. Len, what do you think?
I think if you're a first time visitor, it's probably pretty good. You can probably see it a second time. Would you want to see it a third time? No,
yeah,
its
repeat value is a little diminished.
See, I don't know that I would want to see. Probably the only show that I would want to see again would be a stage show. Beauty and the Beast is pretty good.
What else? I like Mermaid.
I've seen. I mean, I might see it one more time, but unless they do something radically different with it, I can't imagine seeing it again. What's another?
Well, if Hunchback was still there, Len, would you see that several times?
Yeah, Hunchback wasn't. I don't remember Hunchback that well.
Well, let's take it from a instead
put
of
this
saying
way, I would see Festival of the Lion King. Festival of the Lion King, without a doubt, is the
right
or yeah, Festival yeah. of the Lion King is probably without a doubt the best stage show in right. Walt Disney World.
I agree.
I would, and I would see that. You could see that quite a few times before you get bored. Farther down, and so Beauty and the Beast is probably like a tier two, somewhere in the middle, and then you get all the other stage shows are sort of like you've seen it. It's like riding It's a Small World. I mean, you've seen it once. There's not much is going to change, and that's that. Yeah, that's where I stand.
Scopa, what do you think of Indiana Jones? I mean, never mind the repeat value. Just, what do you think of the attraction?
Well, I've seen it many times, and the most enjoyable times I've seen it, way back in the early 90s when they had more performances, and I used to always go to the last performance of the day because I just enjoyed seeing it at night. I think that...
Drinks were half price during that show, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was happy hour. It was happy hour.
Exactly.
I think that like any of the stage shows in Walt Disney World, a lot depends upon who is doing the performing at the time. Some of the cast members really do a much better job than others. Some take their profession very, very seriously, and they really, really do a good job. And they treat their performance as if it was the first one that all the guests in the audience are seeing, and I think that has a lot to do with it. One of the things that bothers me is that towards the end of the show, and for those people who haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil it, but there's something that occurs, something big that occurs at the end of the show, and sometimes the timing is just not good enough, and it kind of loses the impact if the timing isn't just right. And the first several times I saw the show, the timing was perfect. The last several times, it's like, gee, you know, something should have happened about 2 or 3 seconds earlier. So that kind of bothers me. I'd say like Len, you know, like the first two times maybe it's okay. Now I only go if I'm going with someone who has never seen the show, because then I can say to them, watch this area, watch this area, just to help them. But I won't go if it's just me. Or like, if Carol and I go, we probably wouldn't see it. Hello?
Hey, guys. Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time. I appreciate you taking my call.
Great. Thanks for calling.
All right. Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Aloha.
You know, speaking of Indiana Jones, I mean, when was the last Indiana Jones movie? When did it come out?
Early 90s. I remember waiting in line, and I wasn't available.
The Last Crusade?
Yeah, Last Crusade.
Yeah, so if you're 8 years old, you don't know who Indiana Jones is.
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a good.
I'll tell you, Len. You know that kind of argument is made for the Great Movie Ride. Like how many teenagers or 20-year-olds know who Johnny Weissmuller is? You know, when you go through the Great Movie Ride.
Who's that?
That's not. You know. Yeah. Who's that exactly? Who's that, Daddy?
We were born in 86. And frankly, Aliens isn't scary anymore. It's
John Wayne, you know? Who's John
now,
Wayne?
Now, let's not get crazy.
Slow down there, partner.
It's crazy talk.
Esther Williams, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but...
Humphrey Bogart.
You know, there's the appeal of... the, and, you know, I'm not a fan of the studios. The appeal of Ooh. Great movie is, number one, just the trailers in the movies are classic. I mean, the movies that they're showing there are classics in every sense of the word. I mean, The Searchers is there. Is Casablanca? Yeah, Casablanca's on there. Yeah. I just saw that the other.
They're great. It's great to hear the old trailers because, I mean, we're so used to the trailers they have now. But the ones like the Mary Poppins one I love because it's so subliminally message-driven. It's like, you'll love Mary Poppins. Opening tomorrow, it's Mary Poppins. Go see Mary Poppins. And it's... You know,
that's classic. I've never noticed that.
Yeah, they say it like over and over. And pay attention the next time. I've got the sound on my computer. I'm sure you have it too, Len. But the next time you go to the attraction, I mean, if you're sitting there, they just say it over and over and over again. And then it's like, you know, starring, introducing the brand new and fabulous so-and-so
yeah, exactly.
who no one's ever heard of it ever again.
In a world where a woman flies with an umbrella.
It just wouldn't, you know.
Rochelle.
Rochelle. Rochelle.
From Minxed, what is it from, where does she go from someplace to Minxed? I forget what it was.
Yeah. But,
I mean, but those movies are, Indiana Jones is different because if you grew up and you didn't understand Indiana Jones, if you've never heard of it, you could sort of semi-function as an adult in this world. But I can't imagine that you could be a literate adult and not have some sort of cultural reference to John Wayne or to Clint Eastwood or maybe not Esther Williams, although
James
I think
Cagney.
We have a show, we've actually done a couple of Esther Williams jokes, but to not know, you know, the what Casablanca means in pop culture or, you know, any of those attractions, any of those films. I would be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, these are classic.
Like, for example, when Europeans call us, you know, a John Wayne democracy, you pretty much have to understand what that means in the larger context. And if you don't, it's just difficult. I can't imagine that you're a fully rounded adult unless you know those things. Whereas, again, you could sort of miss Indiana Jones, and that would be okay. Although there's so many Ark of the Covenant jokes that you would not get to, but anyway.
Good point, Len. Len, how's your planning for your MouseFest vacation home going?
Still looking through them, actually. Actually, I'm trying to watch. I've got like 3 hours of Magic Kingdom video from last week. I'm trying to go through with all the new rides and entertainment and everything. So I'm trying to get through some of that too.
Oh, cool.
Have you guys seen the Magic Kingdom the Family Fun Day parade?
Yes, I have.
I
don't know, Len. All I know is that I was walking through the center hub one day earlier this month, and I see a bunch of little families and stuff, and they've got some of them have pom poms. The kids have pom poms and stuff, and I see Goofy's at the head of the pack, and there's Pluto, and there's a few cast members, and they just go up and down Main Street, you know, playing a little song and stuff, and it's just part of the Year of a Million Dreams. I guess that's one of the dreams.
So it starts at the Central Hub, and it works down towards the train station, it looks like.
Yes, yes.
And you've got a marginal number of – but how – are you picked, or can anyone walk?
I think you're picked out of the crowd, I think.
It looks like it's loosely organized. Let's put it that way.
The problem with it is that they try to cram as many characters that have nothing to do with anything – onto a single float.
Matt. This is like the budget parade. Like if you and I had to do a parade in the Magic Kingdom, and all we had were like, you know, three guys in Goofy suits, this would be it. It's
I gotta tell you,
Goofy, one of the Main Street vehicles with some people in it, as many marching band people as they could get.
I just don't understand, like, some of the floats, though. Like, the floats
there,
have
there are no floats
going
in this
to.
One. Not in the Family Fun Day Parade. I don't think there are any floats. Now, okay. the other thing, I was watching the new Magic Kingdom parade. I was trying to figure out, the parade goes on for 37 minutes. It moves at 5 miles an hour. The parade's got to be, like, 2.5 miles long. Where do they put all those people? I think it's the same float over and over again.
It's just a repeat. They're reruns.
I'm thinking.
Yeah. That's a good point. But the new parade, I just don't understand the floats, because they'll have, like, just characters that have nothing to do with each other on the same float. Like, usually, like, Spectre Magic, you'll have, like, you know, I don't know, but you'll have characters make sense. Here, nothing makes sense. It's like
Stitch
Bizarro.
Stitch and Snow White, yeah. Snow White.
It's, exactly. It's like Stitch and Snow White, and it's like Pinocchio and, like, Ariel, and it's like, what? You know? Because it's, how does that have to do with anything? It's just an odd parade, indeed.
I'm still trying to figure out the purpose of the Family Fun Day Parade.
Just to get little families involved, I guess.
You know, you know what I think it is? It's a way to get the carts from one end of Main Street to the other, getting free labor.
I can tell you, though, I don't know if you can pick this up on the video, Len, but did you? If you watch the video, take a real good look at the cast members who were involved. I just don't see the enthusiasm there.
A couple of them are smiling.
Yeah, you can smile.
And I got a couple of parents here really shaking some pom-poms, but I don't have to send you guys the video.
I was really
impressed, though. I mean, going back, because I have a video of the new Nemo attraction at, you know, the Seas, and that looks much better than I thought it would. The video? The insertion of the
mine?
Nemo characters. Yeah, that looks a lot better than I thought it would.
Mine? Mine?
Mine? Mine? Mine?
I'm really looking forward to seeing that on Mouse Fest, and I hear now that
the musical's gonna be open.
The musical's gonna be open. Yeah, it's gonna be opening later this month in November, and for previews, it'll be previews all the way through the end of the year. So that'll definitely be if you're going down between now and the end of the year, you'll have a chance at seeing. And of course, with previews, there's always the chance they won't be showing, so you have to kind of take it. You gotta almost have to go there assuming not to see it, as not to get your hopes too high up with it. But they will be showing, and it'll be great to be able to see it. I've got, with what they've done and everything I've read about it, I've got some really high expectations for it. We do have another caller. Who's on the line?
Hey, it's Kim again.
Hey, Kim.
I had a question. What do you guys think? There's kind of a controversy, at least on the Diz boards, about the new kids menus, that they do seem to be rather limited, and just that menus in general seem to be getting dumbed down a bit.
ESPN Zone, they went from like a 4-page menu to a 1-page menu, right? Or ESPN Club. Yeah, there are a couple of places where they're cutting back on the. But here's my question: Can you really do well everything on a 4-page menu? No, probably not.
But I still think that a lot of people are complaining about, I'm not going to say specific things because I don't remember them, but just the fact that the menus do seem to be getting less adventuresome.
They're becoming less unique, Kim. What's happening is that you're seeing a very subtle movement towards trying to probably attain some kind of a common denominator for all the restaurants to offer certain entrees or just a variation on a basic entree, and what you're losing is you're losing signature entrees, signature desserts, or signature appetizers from several of the restaurants. Several people have mentioned that over the last 6 months that they see that happening. So that could be what may be being discussed on the Diz boards right now.
What's your opinion on it, Kim?
I think they should keep the places unique. I mean, just as an example, I was thinking of going to the Coral Reef or whatever, and I know it doesn't get great reviews, but they had like mushroom soup, and I'm not big on certain seafoods.
Right.
And like what they had on there, and then all of a sudden the mushroom soup was gone, and I think the entree that I had planned was gone. It's just like, I'm not going to go now. And, I mean, Le Cellier, theirs has pretty much stayed the same. Chef de France, I know, took some hits on a couple of things. But
what did Chef de France lose? What did they...
I think somebody was saying they lost
frog legs.
They lost the duck, and a lot of people were saying, I wanted to go to get the duck, and the duck is gone. And, maybe they were trying to save Donald, I'm not sure.
Yeah, right.
But just where various favorite entrees are leaving, and just... it has affected me because they still have the French onion soup, and they have this Pardell's face, and I'm like, okay, never mind, I don't care. They still have what I want.
Yeah. No, I think for adults, it's certainly... I think if anything, they should expand the menus. I mean, the different... taste is always good, as clearly the popularity of the Food and Wine Festival proves that. I think for the kids' menu, though, I mean, for every cultured kid you got out there, there's about 20 more that are uncultured and eat, chicken nuggets and macaroni and cheese, and that's it.
Yeah, but they're gone. They're not on the kids' on this standardized kids' menu anymore. There's
really?
No mac and cheese. There's no kids. There's no chicken nuggets. They have like a pita pizza. It's super healthy. And from what people are saying, there aren't other options other than ordering an adult meal. I don't have kids, so I don't...
Well, I think I applaud Disney for trying to go for the healthier means. It might not be...
It as an exclusive, only 3 things available in multiple places, and then saying, like... I'm like, they were complaining, like, the sugar-free Jell-O for the only dessert available, where... you've got NutraSweet in it, and a lot of people don't want their kids eating NutraSweet.
That's a good point. I'm just thinking that if you have the option, then it defeats the purpose. I'm sure the foods that they have there are decent, and mm-hmm. We need I don't want to get on a soapbox here, we obviously need to be less fatty as a nation. And by, I mean, if you have the option there, then the kids are still going to eat the, you know, the crap that that they offer, because, you know, burgers, and it's not good for anybody.
I agree, but I know
having the choice. I mean, you should always have the choice, right? And,
yeah,
and I agree with you.
That's it. I don't think they only have three choices. And if you're there for a week, your kids are going to get tired of pita pizza and just, like, whatever the other options are. And I think that's what a lot of people are complaining about, that they've taken away so many options on the kids' meals that it's made them thinking, well, I'm not going to get the dining plan. And a lot of people are blaming the dining plan, saying that that's the reason things are getting so generic.
Because
they're trying to save money so that they can actually make a little bit of money on the dining plan, or at least keeping people in the park. And a lot of people are saying, well, I'm not getting the dining plan because my kids can't eat it. My kids won't eat just these three things. So I'm going to have to get them an adult meal and split it between a couple of kids or whatever, and that sort of thing.
So I'm looking at the kids menu for... Oh, okay, the generic kids menu is pita pizza, like you said, with diced chicken and mozzarella cheese, served with shredded veggie salad and brown sugar apples. Then it's the other entree is dip it, so like fruit, vegetables, chicken salad, and yogurt dips. Chicken strips are an option. Then there's also... Chicken strips are on there, but then there's also... Those are three standard items. And then there's also kids' picks, which are... I'm reading this off of Deb's site on the... which kids' meal menu is this? Tony's Town Square. So the appetizers are veggie salad or soup. The entrees are... They vary by the restaurant. They're either macaroni and cheese or hamburger with fries, cheese or pepperoni pizza, or spaghetti with tomato sauce, macaroni and cheese, or hot dog with fries. Dessert is fruit salad or ice cream.
A lot of people were saying, like, they were saying, like, the counter services having a much more of, like, just the three kids options.
I think, yeah, it looks like there's three.
And that, but that's their main complaint, is it's the same three for all the counter services. So what am I going to do?
Oh, okay. So these are the three things over and over again.
How many times can my kids get vary this thing for two meals a day for 7 days?
How many kids' meal things did they have before? Okay, your point isn't that they had more choices in individual restaurant, but that throughout Walt Disney World, each restaurant had its own different thing.
Right. So they could go to Tony's and get something a little different there. They could go to Columbia House, get something a little different there, or just, and like in Epcot as well. But they seem to be taking the individuality away from the different themed restaurants. And I mean, I don't object to kids eating healthy. I've been overweight. I'm still somewhat overweight, but I'm on vacation, so I'm not going to be thinking about that. When I come home, back to Weight Watchers or whatever, and that sort of thing. I know I don't want to gain back the 90 pounds I lost.
Oh, you lost 90 pounds. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
Hey, a couple of quick things. On Deb's site, she notes that you can actually ask for child-sized portions of the entrees, the adult entrees as well. Have we tried that?
I don't know, but like I said, I don't have kids. So, and it's just, I think people are thinking, well, you have to ask for something special, but it's not up on the menu, and they may not think about that. If people don't know, I mean, let's face it, we're all Disney freaks here, and we know all the websites, and we all know where to check everything, and we know what questions to ask. But first-timers, I mean, the first time I went to Disney, in 2000, I didn't know all the questions to ask, and I was even on the Diz boards at that point, and it was still like there were some things that, I could have done that differently, or I know better now.
Well, tell you what.
Go ahead, Lon.
You know what we can do is we'll send the research team out this week to look at the menus for the parks and see what kind of variations we get on it.
Yeah, because I just think it's It's tough. I mean, and some parents have very picky kids. I know at one point, my one niece, the one thing she'd eat was chicken wings or spaghetti. That was it.
I think that's Sisney's point, Kim, is that kids aren't that eclectic in their tastes, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to narrow it down because, I mean, it costs them money to make whatever, you know, all these different options available them. And I think that they think is most kids eat the same stuff over and over and over again because kids can do that.
Right.
You know, whereas adults do require, most adults, you know, Len can live on, you know, pretty much the same stuff all the time.
So, you live on Wonka bars.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to each their own. So I think that's what they're doing. Is their solution the best answer? That's debatable, and I think clearly you brought up some good points about that. But I mean, you know, most kids, you know, all right, well, I'll just have the peanut butter and jelly, you know, and now they're, you know, substituting, you know, carrots instead of fries, which is always a great option. So I think that's Disney is just, I think it's two pronged. One is they're under the veil of healthiness, they're sneaking in the cheapness of mass producing a few foods instead of being that much more eclectic out there. But certainly it sounds like what Len says is that at the full service restaurants, you still have some choice.
Yeah.
But it might not be the best solution. And I think you brought up some good points, Kim.
I have one other complaint.
Okay.
They changed the shipping pricing.
Oh, for what?
The shipping is now based on the dollar amount you spend as opposed to the weight of the objects.
So, for example, if I buy a bowling ball for $50, it's going to cost me the same in shipping as a single ticket.
Right. That where somebody said like they normally go to like World of Disney and buy a lot of their things and have them shipped home, and they bought like if you buy say a $150 snow globe, it's going to cost you $25 to ship it home. Whereas before it was by weight and like normal things for like UPS and such, and like somebody said it would have cost them almost $100 to ship home what they were going to send what they bought at World of Disney.
Yeah, and at Disney World, certainly your purchases can add up quite quickly because there is no such thing as a sale rack at Disney.
Right. So and like what on the annual pass show, what Mike had said, go to World of Disney with your annual pass, get all this stuff, and I'm thinking, if I want to buy a snow globe, I can't carry it on anymore because it's liquid.
Right.
And so I would want to ship it home because I don't exactly trust the airlines with things in my luggage that are that big and that fragile.
Right.
And so if I want to buy a $150 snow globe, which is expensive, but some of them are pretty elaborate, it's going to cost me maybe a quarter of that to ship it home. So their shipping policies have definitely changed. And I don't know if it's on Deb's site, but I do know remember seeing a chart on the on Disboards.
Interesting.
Where they had changed the shipping policies. And
Disney has made some really bizarre changes recently. I mean, you've outlined some of them. At Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party, they eliminated the free photo. And now it's 50% off after 8 o'clock p.m., which is, you might as well just charge regular price because it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's ridiculous that's, you know, you don't go from one to the other. You've got that. I don't know. I think, you know, Len, we've talked about it before about, you know, is this Disney moving to market changes or is this Disney pushing to see how far until they get pushed back? Because their parks are extremely popular and I think they're seeing, I mean, you know, when you look at Disney's filings, I mean, their theme parks are carrying them. And if you're, you know, an analyst, you got to say, okay, well, how much more money can we make out of these parks? And I think that's what Disney's doing at this point.
I think they're really pushing the boundaries to see at what point people are going to scream on a lot of these things.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Because a lot of people are saying, well, I'm just not going to buy as much because I can't carry it home, and I'm not going to ship it home for the obscene charges they want to charge.
And you got to let them know that. That's the other key.
I'm going to let them know. Because I wasn't planning on buying a lot at Disney because I don't have the budget for it this time. But the things I was going to buy, a lot of it, I was just going to have it shipped home because I didn't want to worry about it in my luggage. But now I'm going to have to. of whatever I buy, except if I happen to buy a snow globe, I'm going to have to ship it because I don't want to trust that to.
Right. No, it's a good point. It's a good point, Kim. And it's tough with those kinds of things. But I appreciate you calling in and first of all, alerting us to the changes and certainly discussing it. It's interesting points. The money myth, it doesn't even make any sense to me. I don't think Disney World sells bowling balls, but I mean,
they,
certainly.
Didn't they in the athletic store on Main Street? No? No, I know they do in Pop Century.
Okay.
at the 50s pool, yeah.
So there you go. I mean,
along with the big bowling, along with the big pins.
Right.
I think that
Disney is very reactionary. I think there's two extremes. I think that you saw that when they offered free dining because of reacting to the fact that the room bookings were very low during the fall the last 2 years because of hurricane. People are worried about hurricanes, and by the same token, they also go to the other extreme and they'll try to get as much as they can, and then if there's pushback, I'm sure that they will react to that too because they don't want to upset their guests to the point where they cut back on doing a lot of things they normally would do, including staying on the property, buying items, and spending money in their restaurants. So
yeah,
I'm
sorry, Mike. I found a chart. Is up to $50, it's $8.95. $50 to $75, it's $14.95. And this is ground. This isn't even up to $100 is $21. Up to $150 is $26. And it goes up like between $250 and $500. It's $76 to ship something home.
But even if it's, and that's just for merchandise. I mean, tickets of course don't count.
That's merchandise cost. The direct ship from the stores or wherever. So they're saying like that's really ridiculous considering some ornaments are like $15 a piece, so you buy 5 ornaments.
Right.
They don't weigh hardly anything.
Yeah, they require packing though, because I've actually ordered some for my sister. You got to pack the heck out of them.
Right, it's packing and such.
But, yeah, but I see your point. Yeah. I mean, you could buy a bookmark, like a bookshelf holder. What are they called? Bookend.
There you go. Well, first the Steelers, now this, Kim. It's just not your year.
No, it's not. Definitely not. You guys have a good night.
Thanks, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, you know what? We've got maybe time for one more call if we got one. Coming in, Mr. Newell will try to find one for us. 407-278-5939 if you want to be our last caller of the night. Some interesting things, I think what it is also is that Universal's losing money, Disney's making money hand over fist, and, there's no real reason, compelling reason for Disney to compete. Why should they lower their prices? Because people aren't going anywhere else. They're going to Disney World.
Right. Well, it all comes down to supply and demand, and,
Yeah. We have another caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, it's Larry and Mary again. I guess we started off the show. We might as well wrap it up.
It's the circle of life.
We have a suggestion for Kim, last caller, about shipping, though. So items like snow globes and stuff like that.
Go ahead.
A bunch of UPS stores right all around Disney, including over in Celebration itself. And my wife used to work at a UPS store. Chances are, obviously, depending on exactly which snow globe and stuff, it could easily run much cheaper than what Disney was looking at. Best guesses. I mean, it all depends on the item.
Yeah, but, certainly offsite is the solution to many problems, including shipping options. But that's a great tip. Thanks.
They'll even wrap it up for you in a very, very well-protected way so that you don't have to worry about how well is it going to come out at the far end. They're more expert at it than even Disney is.
Great. Well, I appreciate you, Larry and Mary, for calling in and many times tonight, and we appreciate your tips. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. Keep up the great work.
Thanks. Well, that's it for us today. I want to thank Mike Newell. Mike, thanks for all your help. As always, you make the show possible, especially the live ones.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Len Testa, thanks for coming on, Len.
Glad to be here.
And Mike Scopa?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Thanks for the memory.
And that's it for us today. This has been live show number 8 of Walt Disney World Today. If you want to find older episodes, read our show notes, or download our episodes, go to our website.
Episodes.
It's past my bedtime. I need to go to bed.
Exactly.
Go to wwwtoday.com for Len Testa, Mike Scopa, and Mike Newell. I'm Matt Hochberg. We'll see you on the next show. Stay tuned for something interesting.
This is Mouse World Radio.
Van Halen forever.